So it doesn't look like so many people have arrived yet.
I guess they were expecting more people by around 3 o'clock. So give them a little time.
So they'll get
here. It is lively. They'll get here in time.
Anyway, it's very nice to see this kind of effort.
Yeah, it is, you know, and there's so much enthusiasm. The youngsters are all there, all on the go. And I must say they've been very sweet and kind enough to ask me to come and join them. I'm very touched. Youth that never ages.
Well, I'm always concerned about what we can do for this youth, because there is a shortage of housing, there's a shortage of activities. Our current setup, do you think it helps? Could it be better? And how could we make it better?
I think we have to move ahead. It's too soon to say. I think there are a number of activities which are growing in number. But also the youth have to put out some of their ideas. And as for the facilities that they do need on the ground, I think as we move from now to the 50th, there are a lot of things in the pipeline. And I think everyone thinking about it and seeing what can be done. So the focus is very much there. But it's also a question of how much creative ideas come forward from the youth. And for instance, our education, our governance, a number of things. They have to turn up with something creative also. The activities, but they also creative ideas. When Orwell began, you know, all the people that mother called out to as a youth were around 20, the same age as now. So and they worked very hard on the ground and, you know, digging wells and whatnot. So something like that has also got to happen.
Do you think that the same opportunities are available to them as... I mean, in a way, it was simpler when there was nothing. It's a bit harder to do something when there's something.
You know, they've been... no opportunities at the time. You had to create them.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So everything was possible?
No, because nothing was done. When a lot is done, like the infrastructure we have, one also tends to take it for granted. So one has to look at it and see what needs to be done, how it can be taken further. That challenge is there, and there's far more opportunity today in a way. And maybe less physical hard work.
Thank you, Esther. What's going on here?
We have a fundraiser for the Integrated Animal Care Shelter in Oroville, so I'm fundraising for that now.
Do you also work there? Or?
I volunteer there usually on Saturdays, and I did it this summer holiday.
Tell me a little bit about the place. What do you guys do there?
Well, we have over 40 dogs there, and... it's really hard because there's not enough money there to help all the dogs, and dogs being dumped there every day. So we have to medicate them, feed them, and it's hard just giving love to over 40 dogs if you're only a few people working there, you know?
Are you active in sterilizing dogs also?
Yes, also we sterilize our dogs, and the vet that works for us sterilizes many, and they take street dogs there to sterilize them, yeah.
Great. Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Would you like to share a little bit what you're doing here?
Yeah, sure.
Tell me.
So we've got the art cart here, and it's just free public art. Yeah. Today we're making half mandalas. So as you see, we've got some beautiful examples.
Oh,
here.
Yeah, just improvising.
Lovely. This is material from all over the place.
Beautiful.
As well.
What are you doing?
I'm doing a painting now, a drawing. It says... it's in the meal, we have to enjoy life, we have to be happy at all times, even have some difficult situations in life, we should enjoy life, we should not feel bad at any situation. Yeah, that's my quote, because today morning I had a test, it was really horrible, I felt really tensed and tired. Now I came here, I'm really enjoying this time with music and drawing.
Can you tell me where you're from?
I'm from Proms, Oroville.
So I'm setting up a stand to teach people how to do origami. I plan on teaching them a crane, lilies, boats, owls even.
So how long have you been doing origami yourself?
I've been doing it for a few years, since I was 10, which I think is more than a few years, which is 7 years now.
And how did you get involved in volunteering here?
So I knew a friend named Balu. He worked with the Youth Link, and he was saying that the youth International Youth Day is looking for people to do stalls. And I said, hey, I can do origami. Can that be a stall? And he said, sure. So he talked to the guys, and here I am.
Wonderful. And you live where in the U.S.?
I live in Boston, Massachusetts.
And how do you find Oroville?
So my dad's friend, he works with Balu and the people here. He lives in Oroville, and he said next time you're in India, to stop by and just spend a few weeks. And here I am.
And how do you like it?
I love it. Really do. It's a very nice place.
Do you think you'll be coming back?
I definitely will be coming back. What really got me interested in making paper cranes, first of all, though, was I think it's Hadako or Sadako, and 1,000 paper cranes. So this was a girl after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. She was she had leukemia from the atom bombs, and so she was in the hospital. She had heard the story of 1,000 paper cranes, saying it's a Japanese legend where if you fold 1,000 paper cranes, the gods will grant you a wish. So her wish was to get healthy. So she painstakingly, even when she was sick, had managed to pull 1,000 paper cranes. But sadly, she passed away. So but now people, whenever they feel sick, they look to her, and they always think of pulling 1,000 paper cranes because it's a sign of Japanese good luck charm.
Thank you. That's really touching.
Hi, which school are you from?
Ness.
Ness School?
Yep.
And what have you participated in this event?
No, just we came to see how the work is going on over here.
Okay.
Like, we are the student from 10th grade, and maximum are from the outside, from Pondicherry. So we came here to see how it goes, how the work is going on.
So far,
what have you seen?
Like, from the 2 years we are here, so it was a good experience. From Bihar, I shifted here, so it was a good experience by seeing the
activities
and more other like sports is going on. Then many horseshoe is there, book fair is there, matrimony is there. It's nice experience. Oh yeah,
thank you very much.
You. Can you tell me?
Hello.
Yes.
You're from Ness School.
Yeah.
Tell me
what have you seen over here today?
The picture of horses and matrimony. And some interesting things.
Have you seen anything in this exhibition?
Yeah, some pics and some models placed there.
Is it nice?
Yeah, nice. It's quite interesting.
Why is it interesting?
It's something different, not the normal one.
Okay.
It's obviously different. It's quite interesting, yeah.
How long have you been studying at Ness?
From last year, 2 years.
Where are you from?
I'm from Kotakara, nearby.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, now we're at the entrance of Kalakendra, and it seems like some people are setting up. I see Noe.
For now, I'm taking a gap here.
Yeah.
I'm staying here a bit, then I want to go to New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
Oh, hello, Ren.
Why New Zealand?
Because it's a good place to find work and a beautiful country. And
which area are you going?
All over the place. I wanna see the whole place.
Go to Queenstown.
But I guess first we'll go to Auckland.
Yeah.
That's where the airport is. So.
Yeah. No, they have airport.
Hi Manolo, what are you doing?
Fixing the Wheel of Fortune.
Is this something that's going to be part of the exhibition?
Yeah, it's going to be used in the exhibition. I don't know for what exactly, but yeah.
Everybody's searching for their fortune.
For sure. Yeah.
They embrace the youth.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
From all over the world.
And now we're walking across, and here is it looks like this is a waffle making shop. I'm not sure. I'm going to talk to these people. They're starting a revolution. Hi, right. Tell me what you're doing here, and what's your name, and what's this all about?
Well, we don't know what this all about is because that's going to unfold by itself. So we are serving some coffee and some nice beverages to keep people more active. And I don't know, maybe refreshed.
Pumped up?
Yeah, pumped up, yeah. Because right now we're not that pumped up yet. And some sandwiches and some nice tandoori food. All vegetarian and maybe 50% organic. Yeah.
Okay, right. And I see you have an espresso machine.
Yes. We're coming from this community cafe called The Revolution. Yeah, so it's where people volunteer, and we're trying to create a space where we have our own people who come in and use the cafe and work, you know, something like that. Yeah.
Where is this cafe located?
Just at turn, you know, from the main road to the visitor center. Yeah.
Okay.
Just at the edge of the visitor center. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. And what's the waffle iron for?
Oh, no, that's like a sandwich and a toast maker. Yeah, today we're not having waffles. Yeah.
Thank you very much. What's your name?
I'm Adi Shiva.
Adi Shiva. Yes. Thank you, Adi.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, for paneer tikka.
So now we're going to walk around. Here is somebody busy with a sign that says Eco Farm revaluing menstruation because life depends on it.
Yes. Hello.
Hello there.
Tell me, what are you doing? What is this about?
Okay, so I've got a stall here. We're from EcoFem. We make reusable cloth pads. So we sell internationally and domestically. But on the international sales, for every pad bought, they donate an amount to provide a pad for a woman living in India. We often do this through our Pad for Pad program. So we go into schools, deliver educational workshops, and provide a set of pads for the girls to use.
What's the reaction?
It's a really positive reaction, especially when we're going out into the field. It's okay. yes, the girls are really interested to hear a different perspective because we don't only provide the pads, we provide an education session. So the history around menstruation, about the different effects it has on women, trying to basically take the taboo subject out of it. It's a really important issue, I think, especially here, to be able to discuss openly with the young women. They're really receptive. It's amazing.
So how do they react? Because it is sort of a taboo subject.
Yeah. It is in places, yes. Because we offer different pads that they can use, we give them an alternative to other products that they have, and they become more educated about what is happening to them and basically how to deal with that. I think we break down the barriers through education. I think it's the only way to move forward, really, to break the taboo.
And do you feel like it, when you go there, is it like, do you feel like it's the first time they're ever talking about menstruation like that in an open way?
The sessions that I've been to, I've mainly been working with, say, women who are ummas, for example, rather than the younger generation. And when they're in a group of women, I am so surprised how open they are in discussing. They will talk about everything. And it's absolutely brilliant because I clearly come from the West. I come from England, and I think I am much more reserved than when I'm having these conversations with the women. And it's so interesting. It's so great to talk to these women and show them an alternative, because they are so happy to find out there is alternatives.
And of course, do you talk to them about disposing, you know, about waste, and that's why the menstrual pad is good, because it helps narrow down on waste that is not recyclable?
Yeah, a huge part of our education program is about the waste element. For example, one disposable sanitary pad has the equivalent of 4 plastic bags inside it, which take between 500 and 800 years to decompose. I can't show you over the microphone the posters, but we have a set of posters here on all those facts, and all that is discussed in the presentations. And especially we work with agencies that do the cleanup when the sanitary pads are on the floor, when the dogs have attacked them, work with campaigns where they send their pads back to Johnson & Johnson, for example, who declared that they would help with the disposal of these pads. But yeah.
But do they? Anyway, we hope that conscience of dealing with one's waste will also be part of production, hopefully.
Yes.
In the 21st century, we can move for that. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
So, I'm entering Kalakendra, and there's a super beautiful column and flower arrangement. That the ladies have created. It's very beautiful. And we're coming inside, and here we come to a stand with Lightfish, has displayed all of its work. And here is Sindhuja and Michael.
Hey, they Hello. Know. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
What are you guys doing here?
We're actually working.
You mean this is your office?
No, we just brought the laptop here. We actually have a little display down there of our works. So we came to see if something's happening and we can maybe explain to people who are interested to talk about it, stuff like that.
Do you want to explain it on the radio already?
Sure. Come.
Thank you.
How are you liking this?
So far?
So far, so good. It's exciting. It's always nice to see young people. It's not as packed as I would have hoped, but
still early, hopefully.
It's still early, exactly.
Voila.
So here we are in front of a couple of different posters.
So this is the name of the company. It's Imago. And there's a picture of the team we're working with right now.
Okay.
And this is all the projects we've been doing in the past 2 years. We didn't go further back. It's only the last 2 years. So we have different projects ranging from TLC, Johnny Style School, to this project here, which is called Salokya, which is a low-cost residential project of 100 square meters for 10 lakhs. And then we have a ration shop and post office, which we are just finishing to build in Moratandi, and a couple of residential projects inside and outside of Auroville. And here what we've done is we've highlighted three of the projects. One is the low-cost residential house, which I was talking about. So this house is near Kuilapalyam.
Okay. And located near Kuilapalyam, sort of where New Creation is?
Yeah, just behind New Creation.
And this house is 10 lakhs?
Yeah. So we're almost done. We just have 3 weeks to go and we're within budget. So we're really excited about it.
I'm excited too.
Well, we wouldn't do it again. We would probably do it next time for 3 lakhs more because this was a big squeeze of budget. The client didn't have any money. But we still managed to fit in everything. And there's a living room, kitchen and a water body on the ground floor. And 2 bedrooms and a toilet and bathroom on the first floor. And this is how the building should look finished, more or less.
I'm going to go and see it because really the need of the hour is low-cost housing in Auroville.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was really... Are you addressing that need?
Well, we were hoping that if this is successful, we can propose this prototype as a housing project in Auroville. So we're kind of looking forward to that, actually. So this is a catalog of all the site progress pictures forming the larger elevation.
So what I have here is a mosaic of tiny little pictures that all together create the image of the building. It's really a labor of love and worth seeing. And what do we have over there?
What we have over there is the post office and ration shop. This one was a project initiated by the foundation to recover a piece of Auroville land stuck in Moratandi and almost fully encroached. So behind this building we have a school. So as we see here, this is the school. So we designed the building in the context of creating a public space at the back where the kids can use this platform. And there's a temple next door. So we've used a lot of vernacular elements to match the architectural style of the place. And yet the language we've tried to keep is very minimalist and modern in architecture. And it's you can see it's right on the highway, basically.
By the checkpoint.
Yeah, almost. That's the toll plaza. And here is the building, basically. So, and inside we've...
Hello, Michael.
Well, we tried to redefine the ration shop a little bit here because we feel like the common ration shops are concrete boxes which have no ventilation, no natural light, and usually there's a long queue outside which is exposed to the weather. So we tried to incorporate all these negative aspects and make it better, basically. And we have incorporated a waiting area inside our ration shop. We have a lot of natural light and ventilation. We have created long open counters to ensure transparency in the ration shop, because also that's one issue in the fair price shops, that people get cheated all the time. So here, with all these features, we think we can really change the appeal of a ration shop for the local community.
But who actually sits in the ration shop?
Well, the government assigns someone who this is a sub-ration shop, so basically there's a larger ration shop in Vanur who assigns someone who's going to sit there, and then the village is usually divided into smaller areas, and then every area gets assigned a day where they can go and get their rations. So you have in one go 200 people on that one particular day standing in a line waiting for their stuff.
Wonderful. Tell me about the last poster.
The last poster was basically one of the very first projects we did, which is basically an evergreen Amir's small house. Amir with his family of five in total. They lived in a very small room with an outside kitchen, and they wanted to extend that because the kids are getting older, they need more space. So we basically tried to extend it with the least impact into the forest and also with the least budget, basically. And we recycled a lot of materials. We used recycled plywood for the shuttering, which saved us a lot of money. We used, obviously, CSEB for the brickwork, wattle and daub, which they could do themselves. We reduced concrete as much as possible. And we basically managed to do this entire project without any power tools, except this little steel that is in the concrete columns. So everything was done by hand, basically. So very interesting. And also, again, adapted to the tropical
climate.
Climate, exactly.
Thank you very much. It looks really interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Are you part of any school or simply...
Yes, we are part of an NGO called Reach for the Stars, which is posted over there. So we are all students from that NGO. We are helping here for past 1 week and we are just waiting. And he is going to present about our NGO.
At what time, sir?
5:30.
Can you give me a brief... Just briefly outline what does Reach for the Stars do?
Reach for the Stars is an NGO who selects students from the village side, and then they help those students to get their higher education. They're actually sponsoring for their colleges. And we are students from Reach for the Stars, but we're now starting another NGO, which we want to help the village side children about the inequality, about alcoholism and about behavior and all these things. So we are just a starting NGO. We want to do it. Today is our beginning day, so we're going to explain our project and we'll start working on it soon.
Have you yourself finished now your education or your college, or are you still in...
I'm still in my college. I'm doing my MA English Literature. I'm doing my master degree and I'll be finished soon. We're all graduates. We're all students.
Wishing you the best of luck and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Felix. What are you doing?
We're carving out chapals.
Why is that? Why do we need to carve our chapals in India?
Because people often mistake chapals because they all look the same. So if you want to make yours more distinctive and not get them stolen, you can stamp them and get a cool chapal.
Very cool. And it's also very eco-friendly because I see you are using rubber stamps made out of...
chapals. Once again, it's recycled chapels made by gypsies, I think. And they're made into stamps.
And they look like old traditional Indian block prints.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, thank you.